Hi, everybody, and welcome to English Digest. I'm Joe.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today we're on day two of our article all about this reality show called Work of Art, The Next Great Artist. Now, yesterday we had a bit of an introduction to the show. Basically, what we have are 14 aspiring or up-and-coming artists who want to be recognized for their work. So they've come on the show, and they're competing to get a solo show at this very famous Brooklyn Museum in New York, and also a cash prize of $100,000. But in order to get to that prize, they will have to complete these challenges every week. And the first challenge we were introduced to was they paired up these 14 artists, so seven different pairs, and they all had to paint a portrait of each other. So now we're going to talk a little bit about what usually happens on a reality show are conflicts between the contestants. Stephanie, have you ever watched many reality shows on TV?
Well, I'm currently watching the new production of Project Runway that's going in the U.S. right now. I love these shows because you start cheering for and against some of the contestants. Some of them are really irritating, and you can imagine why the other contestants can't stand them. It's fun to see people with talent. I don't like reality TV shows that aren't about some sort of gift or talent someone has. I don't want to watch people living in a house together, or Survivor either. I think Survivor was boring. But these are kind of fun. And since I don't paint or draw or anything in that field, this is kind of fun to think about someone having this sort of talent. Of course, you know, we all have different ideas of what makes good talent or what makes great art. And I've gone to museums and I thought, how did this person get this piece of artwork hung here? Because this sucks. It's terrible.
Well, you'll see, you'll go to very famous museums and you'll see a work of art that basically looks like a couple of lines and not much else.
Or maybe two little kids playing with paint and just throwing it on the canvas.
And then you see what it's worth, several million dollars, yeah. And you just wonder how that happened. But that's what we're going to see today. We're going to have a look at the judging process of this show, and we're going to find out who won the first competition and who was sent home.
Cool.
So let's go ahead and read through today's article, and then we'll be back.
Right off the bat, there are some personality clashes, as Judith, the eldest of the group by far at 61 years of age, offends her partner Jacqueline with her straightforward nature. Now, a confident visual and performance artist also ruffles a few feathers with her open criticism of others' work. Each artist takes a different approach to his or her piece. Eric, a relatively new artist who, prior to the competition, has never even shown anyone his art before, tries to exhibit the wackiness of his subject, Mark, by painting him as a clown and putting the portrait on a palette that will be displayed on an easel. Amanda, an abstract oil painter, chooses to portray Jamie Lynn abstractly, using colors that she feels best represent her nature, and not doing a portrait at all. Meanwhile, Miles resurrects a morbid art form from the 19th century, the death portrait, in his portrayal of No Nonsense Now. All the artists take some risks in their own way, and in the end, it is Miles who comes away with the win. The judges love how he captures Now's beauty in such a dark manner. Unfortunately for Amanda, the judges don't get her abstract representation of Jamie Lynn, saying that it looks less like a portrait than a landscape. Amanda is the first to go, but there are still 9 more competitions to come in this exciting season of Work of Art, The Next Great Artist.
Okay, so let's get into this show and find out what happens in this very first episode. And we learn that right off the bat, there are some personality clashes. right off the bat here is just a phrase that we use that means right at the beginning, at the very start of something. So at the very start of the episode, there are personality clashes. If two things clash, it means they don't go well together. We can talk about wearing clashing colors in an outfit. It just means those colors don't really match up, and it creates this kind of bad or awkward contrast. So when we talk about personality clashes, we know we have people who don't get along very well.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can see why. We're going to describe some of these people. Now, there's Judith. She's the eldest of the group by far. She's 61 years of age, so she's kind of lived her life. She feels like she has the right to say what she wants. And sometimes I've been around older people who think, well, what do you know, kid? You're too young. You have no experience. And so they kind of talk down to you. Well, Judith has a way of speaking to others that offends people, and she ends up offending her partner, Jacqueline, with her very straightforward nature. If you offend someone, you usually say something that causes them to become upset. Maybe you say something that hurts their feelings. Maybe you use foul or profane language, and they don't like that. There are lots of ways to offend people. But you make them hurt, angry, or upset by something you say or do. Well, with Judith, she just happens to have a very straightforward nature, which means she says exactly what she thinks. She's very honest and open.
Now, we have another character on this show, and I say character as in interesting person. And her name is Now, and she is a confident visual and performance artist. Now, confident here might be an understatement. I might even say overconfident, because if I remember correctly from watching the show, she had enjoyed a little bit of success very early in her career when she was quite a bit younger than she is now, but she still carries herself as if she is that established, very well-known and famous artist. So she goes in there and basically says, well, I'm the best person here. I am the best and most well-known artist of all these groups of nobodies, basically.
So, Joe, you could probably say she's arrogant.
Arrogant would be a good word for Now. And she definitely ruffles a few feathers. And this is another interesting phrase that just means to upset people or to do things that make people feel uncomfortable. And the way she does this is with her open criticism of others' work. Now, open here just means that she doesn't hide it at all. She just walks in. And when at the beginning of the show, what happens is people have painted their own self-portrait and they have hung it on a wall, and all the people walk in one by one, all these contestants, and they have a look at it. And Now comes in and just says, oh, that isn't very good. Oh, this isn't very good.
Really?
This is terrible. Who painted this? And just starts openly criticizing other people's work. So that's the type of person we are dealing with here.
I wanted to mention where this phrase ruffle a few feathers or ruffle somebody's feathers comes from. If you've ever been on a farm or been around chickens, you know that if a chicken is upset, his feathers will stand up on end. So you know that someone's upset if you ruffle their feathers. It's almost like you purposely go to them and take your hand and just mess up their hair, you know, and they get mad. So she manages to ruffle some feathers with her comments. Can you imagine her just walking in and just making rude comments about other people's work? There's a way to criticize work and be, you know, constructive in your criticism to say things that will help them. But typically, if somebody wants your feedback or criticism, they'll ask for it first. They don't want people just saying things to them without, you know, an invitation. Hey, would you look at this that I've done? What do you think about it? How could I make it better?
Well, that's definitely not what Now does. She just says, well, that's terrible
and
not very constructive at all. Well, let's find out what happens when the artists get down to work. Well, they each take a different approach to their own piece. They all do it in a different way. We have Eric, who is a relatively new artist. Relatively here just means in comparison to the other artists. So a lot of the other artists on the show, they've been creating art for quite a long time, but he basically just got into it. And not only that, prior to or before the competition, he has never even shown anyone his art before. So he was a guy who was just creating art at home in his garage or in his basement, and he was just keeping it to himself. But then he saw a call for auditions for this show, and he thought, well, why not? I'll just go for it. And he brought his art to the people who were deciding who was going to be on the show. Mm-hmm. They liked it, and they did put him on the show. And he is paired with this guy, Mark, and he tries to exhibit the wackiness of Mark. Mark's a very wacky guy, and if somebody is wacky, it just means they're a little bit crazy or they just behave differently from most other people. And Mark is a very funny, sort of happy-go-lucky type of guy. So Eric decides, I'm going to paint him as a clown and put the portrait on a palette that will be displayed on an easel. A palette is the board that an artist will sometimes use. It's usually in somewhat of a circular shape. Or it can be sort of an odd shape as well that doesn't really have a name.
Yeah, oval, oblong, just a combination of shapes, yeah.
And it's what the artist will put the different colors that they're going to use on so they can then dip their brush in these different colors and start to paint. And then he's going to put this palette on an easel. An easel is a structure that an artist will put a canvas on to hold it up as they work. Now, this is a very good idea. If somebody's wacky, paint them as a clown. But what it ended up coming out as was very similar to these paintings that a very terrible person from the U.S. Who was a serial killer, I can't recall which one it was, but he used to make these just super creepy clown paintings.
Yeah.
And that's what Eric's painting ended up looking like, unfortunately. It wasn't what he intended. He wanted to show him being wacky and carefree, but he just made him look really weird.
Really scary and creepy and someone you want to stay away from. Wacky is similar to saying someone is zany, Z-A-N-Y, just kind of fun. They're just very different and people look at them and kind of chuckle at them because they do some crazy stuff. So he ended up looking like a serial killer had painted him as a clown, so kind of scary. Now, there's another person here, Amanda, and we're going to tell you about her and some other characters, but first, guys, we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们继续来探讨 Discovery 频道上的这个真人实境的竞赛节目。好，看看这个比赛上到底会发生什么有趣的事呢？这边就告诉大家，的确冲突发生了。Right off the bat, 一开始这个片语就表示马上、立刻，想都没有想，事情就发生了。原来发生了Personality clashes, 就是个性上的冲突。好，下面我们就看看怎么一回事呢？里面一个参赛者，他是年纪最长的一位。提到这个人 Judith, 他说他是最长的。那 The eldest of the group by far at 61 years of age. 我们稍微留意一下 by far 这个片语，他常常跟最高级连用，所以说他是里头可以说是最年长的一位了。那当时呢，他就冒犯了别人，冒犯他的搭档 Jocelyn。 那为什么？因为他个性直来直往。提到一个人直来直往，那是 straightforward。 因为如此，所以两个就吵架了。那下面还有另外一个例子，叫做 Niall。 Niall 呢，他其实是一个很有自信的视觉表演艺术家。那因为他爱批评别人，所以呢 ruffles a few feathers 这个片语就是表示让人不高兴，惹怒别人，惹怒的大家。再来，我们就看到了这个比赛的过程里面，当然每一位艺术家他都会用不同的方法来创作他们的作品。看到这个字 approach 就代表手段方法。那当你讲到对于事情用什么方法，后面接的介系词是 to。 接下来我们再看，这里还有一位新锐的艺术家，他叫做 Eric。 Eric 基本上呢，在这个比赛之前用到这个片语 prior to the competition， 也就是说 在这个比赛之前，他其实从来没有在别人面前展示过他的作品。那他在这个比赛当中呢，他的搭档是 Mark， 他试着要把 Mark 画成一个小丑，然后展现出他的 wackiness。 wackiness 这个字是来自形容词 wacky， wacky W-A-C-K-Y， 这个形容词就代表有点 crazy， 也就是古怪疯狂。那他怎么展现他的 wackiness， 他的疯狂呢？哦，他的方法非常特别，他把它画成一个小丑，然后呢，他那幅画是画在调色板上，调色板这个字是 palette， 画在调色板上，然后呢，整个画连同调色板就摆在 easel， 就是画架上面展出。
Stay tuned, we'll be right back after a short break.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to English Digest. My name is Joe, and I'm here with Stephanie today.And we're finding out what is happening in the first round of this competition called Work of Art, The Next Great Artist. We're meeting some of these interesting personalities that have come together for this show. We had Judith, who is a lot older than most of the other competitors. Most of them are in their 30s or 40s or even their 20s, but she's 61 years old, and as such, she feels that...By virtue of her age, she has won the right to say exactly what she wants, no matter who may be offended by what she says. And that's exactly what she does. She starts offending people left and right. We also have Now, who is a confident or overconfident visual and performance artist. And she just starts criticizing people very openly, and also in a straightforward manner, saying...You're not very good. You're not very good. I'm the best artist here, and you're all going to find out when I win this competition. And we were talking also about the different approaches people were taking. We started off with Eric, who is a new artist, and he had a subject, Mark, who is a very wacky, happy-go-lucky type of guy, so he thought he'd paint him as a clown, and he really wanted to capture the sense of humor of Mark, but he ended up making him look a little bit creepy. So sometimes when you're under a deadline, things don't always go according to plan.
That's true. Is Eric the youngest of all the competitors?
He's not the youngest, but he is quite young. He's only in his early 30s, maybe 31 or 32.
Well, and he just started to paint later
in life. He just started, and he's not one of these artists that... is insufferable because he just takes himself so seriously. He's just kind of along for the ride.
Oh, and that's fun.
Just saying, well, I did this on a whim. I didn't have a plan, so I'm just going to enjoy this as long as I can and see what happens.
Cool. Good for him. Well, let's talk about Amanda. She actually is an abstract oil painter. If you do abstract work, you come up with things that don't really look like a concrete person or thing or idea. You're expressing emotions and ideas by just using colors and lines. So if someone is to look at an abstract painting, you can't really tell what it is. It just kind of gives you a sense of an emotion maybe that the artist is trying to express or relay to you. So I don't know what her painting would look like because an abstract oil painter wouldn't come up with a portrait that looked like a person.
Well, actually, what she ended upcoming up with was something that looked more like a landscape. She believed that Jamie Lynn, her subject, was a very bright, vibrant sort of person.
Okay.
So she took bright and vibrant colors and painted a landscape that she felt represented the personality of Jamie Lynn. She didn't paint her face or her features or anything like that.
Yeah, that's not really a portrait.
No, it's not a portrait at all. It's a landscape painting. And we'll find out exactly what the result of her effort was a little while later. And until then, let's talk about another artist, Miles, and he resurrects a morbid art form from the 19th century, the death portrait, in his portrayal of No Nonsense Now. Now, when you resurrect something, it means to bring something back, something that was lost or forgotten. Literally, to resurrect somebody means to bring them back from the dead.
Yeah.
And that comes from the Bible, from the Christian religion. But he just brings back this morbid art form. And if someone or something is morbid, it means it is focused on dark things and more often than not, focused on death.
Yeah, and sometimes people will have a morbid sense of humor. So they'll kind of laugh or joke about people being sick or dying, which is kind of crazy. But there are even some movies that are pretty morbid sometimes. So they'll paint a death of someone as being sort of a hilarious situation, which most of us don't think death is funny. But he uses this old style from the 19th century. You know, I've seen these photos or portraits from long ago, and they kind of, they're very interesting to me. When people died in the 1800s, they would often, because we didn't have cameras back then, guys, they would invite artists to come in and then paint the person as they were lying in a coffin or getting ready to be buried. So you're looking at a dead person in this portrait or painting. It's kind of a weird feeling.
That's right, and they called it, appropriately, the death portrait, and that's what he uses in his portrayal of No Nonsense Now. And the portrayal is just the way that he decides to show her in this work of art. So all these different artists, they take some risks in their own way. So take some risks just means to do something that might be a little bit dangerous. In this case, it's only in the figurative sense. They're not actually in danger, but they're actually having to take a chance because they don't know how people will perceive their work of art. They're just saying, okay, this is my initial impression. This is what I think I should do. I don't know if people will like it or not, but I'm just going to go for it. And they all go for it. They all do some different things. But in the end, it is Miles who comes away with the win. To come away with something means that you are the person who gets something in the end. And we often use this when we're talking about people or teams that are competing. The Yankees came away with the win. It means they were the ones who won the game. And in this case, Miles wins the first competition of the show.
Wow. Well, if you're an artist, you have to take risks. Those are the people that get a lot of attention, people that do things that are new or cutting edge. So they took the risks. And in the end, Miles wins the prize. The judges really love how he captures Now's beauty in such a dark manner. Dark doesn't just mean you're using very solemn colors like brown and gray. It also could mean the kind of mood you're creating. If it's dark, it's not very happy or bubbly. It's more kind of this feeling of sadness, maybe even of horror or evil. Just kind of a weird feeling. And if you're looking at a death portrait, it's not a happy picture.
Now, Miles was the one who won, but unfortunately for Amanda, the judges don't get her abstract representation of Jamie Lynn.
And to say you don't get something, Joe, what does that mean?
Well, if you don't get something, it just means you don't understand. If you say a phrase we often use is, I don't get it.
Yeah.
That just means that's exactly like saying, I don't understand. And they don't understand because the competition was to create a portrait. And that's not what she did. They say it looks less like a portrait than a landscape. So it means, well, what she painted was landscape, like trees, flowers, the sky. So what one of the judges actually said to her was, okay, to you, this is a portrait. But to no one else, anywhere, ever, will this be a portrait. They will just see a landscape painting, and not a very good one at that. So she was a little bit taken aback by this because she took this risk and she tried, but she got kicked off the show.
You know, she may not have the ability to recreate someone's face. She may be like me, Joe, where you can't really create something on paper that looks like the real thing. Maybe she's always just been into colors.
Well, if I was an artist, which I am not, I would definitely be an abstract artist.
Yes.
Because if you asked me to create a portrait of somebody, I could not do it. I do not know how to represent people using paint or using any sort of
like
artistic medium whatsoever.
Shadows and shading and things like
that. No, I just do not have those skills. And Amanda, she wasn't the only one who did not create a portrait. Now actually didn't do that either. She just put a bunch of dots on a canvas and put lines between them because her subject was Miles, and he was always running all over the place around the studio, going here and going there. So she said, well, I'm going to capture his sort of energetic personality by putting these dots on a canvas. And she almost was kicked off as well, but they decided Amanda's was worse somehow.
Do you know, it's interesting that someone who was so difficult to pin down could come up with such a solemn, still death portrait. You know, Miles, who was running around the room all the time.
Well, what he does say is that art is the only thing that actually gives him the ability to focus his energy, because he does have a sort of mild mental disorder that causes him to always be fidgeting or running around. But
moving.
He says when he's creating, that's when he's at his most focused.
That's wonderful. Okay, everybody, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher and then we'll be back to say goodbye.
好，我们提到每一位艺术家是用不同的方法创作的。那接下来又有第二个例子了，那是 Amanda。Amanda 呢，她原来是一位抽象派的油画家。抽象派，我们用到这个字 abstract。abstract oil painter， 她是画油画的。可是她选择什么样的模式来描绘她的搭档呢？她呢，选择抽象的，用他觉得可以最佳诠释出他的搭档的颜色去描绘他。好，再来我们再看看后面还有谁。下面一个例子是 Mile 呢，他 resurrects a morbid art form from the 19th century， 他用的手法又非常的不一样了，他竟然是用病态艺术死亡肖像画这样的画风来描绘正经八百的 Nile， 所以从这个过程当中可以看到比赛其实非常有趣。好，最后这一段我们来看看，那所有的这些14位艺术家呢，他们用冒险的方式，冒些险来用他们的方式创作。我们看到 risk 就代表风险，前面如果用动词的话，常常跟着 take some risks。 好，那么冒险来做创作，最后呢，谁赢了呢？原来是 Miles， who comes away with the win。 win 当然是用名词， comes away with the win 就是最后带着胜利而归。好，果然评审他喜欢他的作品，因为他认为他用这样子的阴暗的模式来创作可以捕捉到 Nile 他的美丽。记得吗？前面提到他的画风是一种病态艺术，那个字 morbid， 他用病态艺术那种来画出死亡肖像，得到了评审他们的欣赏。不过谁输了？原来就是前面提到的 Amanda。 Amanda 记得吗？他是一个抽象画派的油画创作者，那他这种抽象诠释的方式果然评审不以为然，他们认为这个画看起来根本不像是一个肖像画，而像是一个风景画，不是一个 portrait， 而是一个 landscape。 landscape 就代表风景画。那所以这次的比赛里头， Amanda 就是第一个打包回家的参赛者。那接下来还有九场竞赛，大家如果有兴趣的话，就看一下这个有趣的节目 Work of Art, The Next Great Artist.
Well, this is a fun show. We hope you'll get a chance to see it on Discovery. Watching those shows will help you improve your English as well. So, thanks for tuning in to English Digest. Come back soon. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Joe. Goodbye.
Bye.